Well, I'd like for all of us home folk just to give the visitors a big round of applause this morning, saying thank you for coming today. We do want to remind you that this is a special day here at Bethesda. For those of you that have slipped in after we begun, this is a special day here at Bethesda. We're honoring our pastors, Craig and Vicki Dacus, for 25 years of ministry, and then 10 years pastoring here at Bethesda as well. We have two special guests with us, Brother Frank Cargill and Brother Franklin Blair, who we're going to be hearing from later, and we'll welcome them to the pulpit here in just a moment. But I just want to say that from my heart to you, Pastor and Vicki, thank you so much for the investment that you've made in Christy and I's lives the last few years, and as I've been associated with the family in 12 years now, Christy and I will be married. You've been a tremendous blessing to our hearts and to our lives. So may the time that we spend together, all of us, be a special occasion for you guys. We want to honor you today. You know, the Bible says that we are to give honor where honor is due. And I truly believe that the hearts of Pastor and Vicki have been to minister to the people of God and to build the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. And so we want to honor them and just say a special thank you. There'll be plenty of time today after the service and in the reception this evening for you to walk up and to shake their hand, to hug their neck, to love on them. Let's just say a special thank you during this day to them. But we're going to remember, we're going to reflect, we're going to probably remember some of those things you would like to forget. But at least we can laugh about them now, right? Amen. And we can laugh together about them now. But it's going to be a fun time. There'll probably be some laughing, then there'll probably be some crying, some tears of joy in the house this morning, because you have blessed so many lives. And this house is full this morning, Pastor. This house is full this morning. And they're all a representation of the lives that you and Vicki have touched. So we just pray that the years to come will be even more blessed than the previous years in your life, because that's the kind of God that we serve. The kind of God that likes to bless our future even more abundant than our past as we follow his ways. I'm going to ask our board to come this morning. They have a special presentation to get us started today. So if you would come, Brother Tim. Tim is one of our board members here at Bethesda as a deacon. And if his wife would come. Brother Larry and Angie Allen. Larry's one of our board members here, a deacon as well. And then Brother Carl Daniels and his wife Martha. He is our secretary treasurer. Brother Greg Wright slipped in with us this morning. We're glad that you're here today. Now, normally he's the guy at Western Sizzlin. And you know, do what? Steaks are his business, and he's the guy that gets everything prepared. So you know, when we leave on Sunday morning, we just walk in and can enjoy a great meal, a great buffet at Western Sizzlin. This is the guy that makes it all happen right here. Kind of, sort of, anyway. And he's one of our deacons here at Bethesda. Thank you for joining us on the platform. He slipped in this morning. We're glad that you're here today. So Tim, I'm going to turn the microphone to you and allow you to make a presentation.
Brother and Sister Dacus, if you come up, please. Oh, you knew that was going to happen, didn't you? They got some nostalgia for you. On behalf of the church body and the board, we wanted to present you with this commemorative clock for 25 years in ministry.
Thank you. wife does a better job taking the offering, mainly mine. We have considered and contemplated this day once the board asked if this would be possible. Yesterday, it seemed like it hit me the great gift that we owe our God, the very fact that he would consider us worthy, any of us, to be called his own. And very humbled this morning because of the fact that he chose us to be a part of such a great fellowship, a great church, such great friends, the blessing of a great family. And I suppose the word that is on all caps in my heart this morning is just so humbled. And we are a debtor to so many individuals through our lives, Vic and I both, that have invested and sown seed and believed in us when we had written ourselves off at times. But isn't God good and isn't he faithful? There's been a lot of work that has gone into this day, and we would both like to say a very special thanks to our board. We have a great board, and you've given us a great men and women to work with, and I think it'd be fitting if we gave them a hand of thank you for the investment they've made today. And as well, our staff have been actively involved in putting this thing together, and we have been blessed with such a excellent staff. Matter of fact, I love just rubbing shoulders with them because they raise my appraisal value. And I think it'd be good if our staff and their families would stand this morning. Let's give them a hand if we love you. Amen. There's a lot more I'd like to say. Come back next Sunday, and we'll spend about 45 minutes with you. One last note, though. God has blessed me with two wonderful women in my life, and then three more. But where are you going, hon? But Mom has always been such a guiding light and such a faithful presence that has been stability in my pursuit of God, in my trying to find out what life was all about. And I remember several years ago, we had just been elected in as a presbyter, which was, I felt like God was in a laughing mood that day, absolutely having enough trouble pastoring my own church, much less trying to worry about others. And Mom was in the hospital, made a trip down to Lawton, and was talking. She said, "What's going on in your life? Anything new?" And so I told her. And from the hospital bed, laying flat on her back, just had surgery, she pointed her finger in my face and she said, "Don't you ever forget from whence you've come." And I felt like I was about 4 years old. And I said, "Yes, Mama." It's all because of the grace and the mercy of God. None of us really has had a prayer, but God believed in us. And he sowed himself into us. And now we stand before this world as living epistles that are known and read by all men, a reflection of his goodness and grace. And may we continue to be the light and salt that he's called us to be. The second lady in my life for over 31 years that has said, "You can do it," when I said, this is crazy. She has followed me to places that her mom and dad probably discouraged her to follow. No, not really. But Vicki has been such a wonderful helpmate and pastor's wife and companion and my dearest friend, the love of my life. And I just want to honor her this morning because she has made it possible. And all you men know exactly what I'm talking about. They're more than the neck that turns the head. They're the very substance of who we are. And I love and appreciate this lady. The three girls that she has given me and their families, wonderful granddaughter and four wonderful grandsons and one on the way. I could just go on and on and on. That's why they got me the clock. It has an alarm on it, and I'll go down before it rings. We love you, and thank you for traveling the miles and being here. God bless you.
We've invited Brother Franklin Blair to be with us. Now, he was Pastor and Vicky's pastor growing up. And so I'm sure he has a lot of stories that he'd like to share with us this morning. And we wanted him to come and share with you a little bit, just to kind of give you a feel for what it was like when our pastor and Vicky were kids. And so, Brother Blair, if you would come, let's make him welcome to this pulpit this morning. Honored to have you here today.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the opportunity of being here. I count it a privilege just to have a little part in this very important service this morning. It's a lovely sanctuary, a lovely group of people, lovely pastors, and needless to say, I'm very proud of them, seeing over the years how they've developed and what they have done for the Lord and for one another. Craig, I believe, and his family came to our church in about 1968, Calvary Assembly, and Vicky and her family came about when she was about 5 years old. And I'd like to say just a little bit about the parents of these two. They have contributed very much to the progress and the way that they've accomplished things in life. We've had very close relationships with the Gaithers and with the Cloughs, and they've been very good to us. And I could not say enough good things about these parents. They played a very large part in their lives. And I'd like to also to congratulate the kids and the girls of Craig and Vicky, their husbands and their family. I know that they've contributed a lot also. All working together, family, is so very important. I remember when Vicky was taking piano lessons from my late wife, Ann. She enjoyed giving her lessons, and every Friday or Saturday, whatever it was, she was faithful to be there to practice her piano lessons. And seeing her now as she plays the piano with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I say that with playing the piano is one thing. There's a lot of good piano players. But playing the piano with the Holy Spirit upon her life, when tears coursing down her cheeks, means a lot. And if my wife could see her today, as she plays the piano and worships God, she would rejoice because of seeing their products. And this young lady, how that she has progressed so very much in life. Craig was always a very spiritual young man. I'm told that he kept his Bible on his desk when he went to school, to the high school, and witnessed to young people as he had an opportunity. And that is he's to be commended for that. Then, as they grew up and time passed on, they fell in love with each other, and it was my honor to be able to unite them in marriage and see how that they progressed in life. They've had some hard times, I'm sure, and finances were scarce sometimes, but they worked together, loved each other so very much, and made it. Craig and Vicky sang in a quartet at Calvary, and I want to say, I guess I'm a little prejudiced, but I want to say it's the best quartet I think that I ever heard. They did such a very marvelous job. They not only sang again, I'm saying, with the good singing voices, but they sang with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, and that's what counts. Craig felt a call into the ministry after a certain length of time and was an assistant pastor at Calvary Assembly for a while, then felt the call to go to Hobart and build a new work there, which they did with the help of their family, Brother Howard, and that has helped him to build this sanctuary and also this sanctuary, and I'll tell you, it's just beautiful, I think. And they accomplished a lot and have a lovely church there in Hobart because of their sacrifice and work. Started out in an old church that they bought and had services there until they could build a new building. And so the new building is there today and work going on for God. Brother Craig wanted a shotgun. His wife bought him a shotgun. And he invited Brother Newby and I over one day to go bird hunting. And we were glad to accept. And we were out driving, and hunted some, and didn't end too good of luck finding birds. He said, if we'll stop right here at this house, these people attend my church some, and maybe I can get some information, and they'll let us hunt there. So fine, we stopped there. He went in, and he stayed, and he stayed, and he stayed, and he stayed. And Brother Newby and I said, well, they must be having lunch. So finally, he came out, said, Brother, we didn't intend for you to go in there and have lunch with them. He said, no, I didn't have lunch. I was visiting for Sunday school. Oh, he said, they did twist my arm and said I had a piece of pie. So he incorporates his work with Sunday school. I've had a good working relationship with Craig and Vicki. I remember they thought about me often. Times when things weren't going so good, I'd get a note in the mail. Not just once, but dozens of times, dozens and dozens of times, they'd write me a note of encouragement, send me a card, and say, we're praying for you, and we know things is not as good as you're having some hard times sometime. I said, we're praying for you. That meant so very much to me. I'll tell you, it's nice to honor your pastor and let him have some encouraging words along the way. My grandson, Jason, some of you know him, Jason Engelkey. I want to appreciate, I can just say this over and over because I couldn't tell you how much I appreciate Brother Craig's influence that he had on Jason. He went to youth camp one year and Craig was there, and he prayed him through to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He came back to church, and I was there that night in Oklahoma City. The pastor asked him to come and testify. He went to the front, and I believe for 20 or 25, maybe 30 minutes, he spoke in tongues and had a great altar service there and a great move of God. And I just thought to myself, if it had not been for Craig obeying the Holy Spirit and staying there till he prayed Jason through to the baptism, he might not even have the baptism today. And so it's so very important to be determined and consecrated and have compassion and love one for another. Love is so very important. In Songs of Solomon, the chapter 8 and the fifth verse said, love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. Verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it out. If a man would give all of his substance in his house for love, it would not, it would utterly be contempt. In other words, means despised. So love is so very strong that binds these two together. I thought about my daughter and her husband, Jim. She's cancer had come back upon her, and she's 6 weeks spent in the hospital now. And he sits by her bed at 7 o'clock in the morning, gets there and stays until it gets near the dark. And because he loves her, he said, I love her more than anything. She means more to me than anything. And I thought, this is the kind of love that I feel Craig and Vicki have for one another. Love, strong as death. Love that'll bind them together. And as they stick together and go through life, it's so very important to have that love. They're fighting sin just like we all are, and sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. They're fighting the devil, trying to keep people from sinning, trying to get people saved, and I salute them for it this morning. A lot of folks I've seen that they think they can get back to God easy. It's not all that easy to get back to God. So the best thing it is don't go too far. One more thing, and I'm closing. I don't know. I don't want to take too much time here. But just an illustration, and I'm closing this morning. The storm on the open seas, and this ocean liner was sailing, and the storm came up. It was a little boy leaning up against the deck, the ship on the deck where the captain was. People were scurrying, getting under deck to a place of safety, away from the storm. And one man said, "Son," said, "aren't you afraid of this storm?" He said, "No, sir, I'm not afraid." He said, "Why aren't you?" He said, "My father is the captain of this ship. And said he's sailed many seas. And said he's never lost a passenger. And said he'll break us to port. One of these days, if we get on this old gospel ship and stay with these pastors and be faithful to them, love them, put your arms around them, one of these days we'll dock on heaven's golden shore." Let me tell you something, folks. The people are looking for a lot of different things to make the church grow. I want to tell you how to make the church grow. Love one another. Love God more than anything in the world. And worship God. That's all you need to make the church grow. There's a lot of tools you can have. You may be able to use them and you may not. I'm not knocking any of them. But if you love God, have compassion one for another, and love the people, I'll guarantee you one thing, you'll always have somebody to preach to. God bless you.
Craig Dacus, my son, was born at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. We were stationed at Camp Chaffee, Arkansas, but they didn't have facilities there. So they gave me a choice, so I chose Fort Sill, being close to Mom and Dad. He was born October the 9th, 1954. He was a precious little son. And I dedicated him when he was 2 weeks old to the Lord. And he loved to go to church even when he was a little boy. But I had no idea that he would grow up someday and make a man of God. Whenever he was 12, in 1967, he had gone to camp. A couple of years before at Fletcher with our pastor, and he'd met a bunch of kids from Calvary Assembly. So we started in Calvary in 1967. That's where he grew up, under Brother Blair's ministry.
My name's Franklin D. Blair. I started the church, Calvary Assembly, and pastored there for 29 years. And Greg and Vicki attended my church.
He sang in choirs, he worked with the CAs. He was always faithful to the young people's groups.
When Craig, I think, of course he was such a baby. I was 15 and he was 12. But it was Vicki and Craig and I, and we formed a trio. And so we sang for a couple of years, and then Darlene Scott from Fletcher moved here, and she started singing, and we became a quartet. And then my brother, Steve Watts, when he graduated from OSU, moved back to Lawton, and we became a five-son, but we were still a quartet.
Vicki Lynn was born in Hobart at the Adams Hospital on a cold January day, and it was quite a joy for us to have a sweet girl as the first child in our lives. We lived in Hobart until she was about 5 years old, and then we moved to Lawton, where she started to school, and shortly after that is when she started her piano lessons, which was, it was a joy for me, but it certainly wasn't a joy for her. She graduated from high school there, and of course that's where she met Craig. They went to the same church.
Well, he invited me to church. I did not go to church at that time. And after seeing Craig, I thought, yeah, I'll go to church. I do about anything. This is okay. So I came to church Sunday morning. I thought I'd be here for morning worship, but I was here before Sunday school even started. And the first person I met at the front door was Howard Gaither. And Howard said, I have a daughter about your age. Let me go get her, and she can show you around. I said, sure, that's fine. I'm supposed to be meeting somebody, but that's fine. So he went and got Vicki. And Vicki said, hi, come and sit with me and my boyfriend. And brought me into the sanctuary, and her boyfriend was Craig. So I knew right away that that wasn't going to work. But Craig is the one that's responsible for my Christianity today, where I'm at today. And that Sunday evening, in the evening service, I gave my heart to the Lord. And it's been 31 years. Vicki was down at the altar praying with me, along with several of the other women of the church. So those are my first memories.
She met Craig and dated for a short time and then married.
We were just teenagers, and at the front of the church at Calvary, service after service, I'd look up there and I'd see Craig laying on the floor at altar time, crying and just weeping and talking to the Lord. And I'd look up there and I'd wonder what, I wonder what's going on, what he's praying about.
I'll never forget the night that Craig was called into the ministry here at the altar. And when he got up, I looked at him. I knew something was different and something had happened. Of course, we were best of friends. And after church, he told me that the Lord had spoke to him and called him. And the thing about it is that Vicki was on the other side of the church, and the Lord had spoke to her.
Craig feels that he was called in the ministry when we sang choruses in our church. And we sang the chorus, He's My Everything, He's My All. And that's when he felt like he felt the definite call into the ministry.
It was no surprise because I was already expecting that. In fact, I was just wondering how long it was going to take before he finally realized that it was the Lord moving on his heart.
Brother Dacus made quite a sacrifice going into the ministry. He was in business in Lawton, Oklahoma, in the iron works. He felt the call of God, put God before the business.
Then Craig came on staff, and we were a multiple staff church, and he was always willing to do whatever, whenever, however. And so Craig became a very active and intricate part of our ministry team. And we sure were sorry, in one sense, when they were called to another area of ministry.
When they got into ministry and they worked at Calvary, but then they went to Hobart. And they told us about moving to small Hobart.
God had called them to go to Hobart. So we tried to be supportive in their decision to move to Hobart. And, you know, as it is a lot of times when God tells you to do something, initially you kind of go, God, are you sure about that?
I think we were talking, saying that. I don't think Craig and them really did.
We're talking Hobart here. You could just see in their eyes that they were excited about moving to Hobart. And as it turns out, God is always right. They moved to Hope.
First time I met Brother Craig was in the Walmart parking lot digging through the shrubs and flowers, and I'd heard of Brother Dacus's ministry. Had come to town at Hobart, and never met the guy. And he came over and caught me right in the middle of my progress, and had to meet me. And they transported pianos back and forth every Sunday morning to the fairgrounds building that they had rented, and they couldn't leave anything there. They had to clear it out every Sunday night. Finally, they got a little white slat church building in Hobart. And,
you've got to mention it's on 4th and Hitchcock, because that's an important
right.
part of the story.
4th and Hitchcock.
Never been there, but I've heard about
yeah.
it.
Cobwebs and the kerosene stoves and a few stories go with that I wasn't actually a part of. But went as a youth sponsor to Turner Falls couple of times. One year we were there, and I went and I watched over the kids, and he had actually graduated up to a camp coordinator, I believe. Anyway, he had a little bit more stroke than the average guy, and that meant you get to drive around in the electric golf cart. He looked for something to do all the time. I'll go get that. Sure, I'll go check on that. I wouldn't say this about Brother Craig, but it seemed he might have been showing off a little and goosing it a little bit, because he was headed up the hill, gave it a couple of throttles, and dumped and unloaded about 2 cases of milkshake mix right there on the big Turner Falls hill.
Abundant Life Assembly of God. And when we resigned the church here in 1993, our brother and sister Dacus were brought back as senior pastors of the church.
We didn't have any room to expand. Our parking, we had people that would come in on Sunday morning and actually leave because there was no parking area.
We were running 2 to 250, and it was just packed, and people were coming in and there was no place for them to sit.
The church just went to prayer concerning, you know, God making a way where there seemed to be no way.
He has a passion and a vision for people and for building and for growing, and so we just jumped on his bandwagon, you might say, because he was so excited, and he just brought us along with him.
It was just exciting. Our pastor told us that I could walk on that property and actually look and just visualize this building being here.
It was exciting just to see the sign put up, Future Home of Bethesda Assembly of God. So I came by every day from work, you know, and the first day, you know, you come by and you see a truck. We were so excited to see anything going on.
Should have been here the first Sunday. It was just exciting just to see what was happening. And I've been part of this church for almost 30 years, and I didn't think anything could get me that excited, but it does.
Just seeing that community of faith materialize, and that's been a wonderful experience for us.
Well, I think our vision and our ministry has always been like our name, Bethesda, a healing pool. We want to minister to those that are hurting. We want to minister to those that need Christ. And I still think that's our vision.
Lots of times the pastor gets up and tells what he feels like his vision is, and lots of times it seems like it's just his vision, but when you're able to participate in that, it becomes, I think, more the church's vision as well. Thank you.
much I could say about the things that he's done. He was very likable. He wasn't ashamed of God. He's been very successful, I think, from the beginning until now.
Craig has a real hunger for God, a real ability to connect with people. He has a charisma about him that draw people to him. And sometimes the real strange ones are drawn to him. And
I might say that they were great to travel with, fun to be with. We were very impressed with their love for God, their passion for souls. It was so evident that the hand of God was upon their lives and leading and directing them.
He was very intense in his deliverance. And I kind of liked that. I thought, well, looks to me like we're getting a hold of a good Pentecostal preacher. And we enjoyed their ministry ever since they've been here. And fact is, I call him Sunshine, and he calls me Handsome. I don't know where he got it from. But
Craig and Vicki, we want to congratulate you on your anniversary in the ministry and also 10 years here at the local church. One special thing I want to say, I thank you for praying with my grandson, Jason, at the camp when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You stayed with him and prayed until he received the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your consecration, and we love you very much.
I'd like to say to Craig and Vicki today that we are so thrilled at 25 years of ministry. It doesn't seem possible that 25 years have passed, and we're just proud of you guys, and we say congratulations on 25 years of ministry.
Brother Dacus, Sister Dacus, I feel confident that you have many more active years as pastors here, and God has tremendous things in store for you. We want you to know that we're very proud of you today. We love you. We honor you on this, your special day.
Yes, we'd be glad to help you out with that. Okay, bye-bye.
Yes?
Brother Cargill, we have a request for you to make some comment about Craig Dacus' ministry.
Craig Dacus? That's the guy that won Fine Arts, right? And is now supposed to be on American Idol next week?
No, that's not the one.
Oh, really? Craig Dacus. Oh, that's that guy that was on the professional golf tour, right? And he's turning preacher now, wants credentials.
No, that's not the one either.
Oh, yeah. Craig Dacus. Yeah, I remember. Hey, congratulations, Craig, on 25 wonderful years of ministry and 10 terrific years at Bethesda Assembly of God. I'm proud of you and Vicki. I know you, and I love you, and may this be the great day of your life.
Amen. Didn't you enjoy that? That was so good. We have Brother Frank Cargill here with us now. He's our district superintendent of the Assemblies of God. It's basically over the state of Oklahoma. Have a little over 400 churches here in Oklahoma. And our pastor serves on the executive board with Brother Cargill. So we've asked him to come and to share with us this morning. Brother Cargill, would you come? Let's make him welcome this morning to Bethesda.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Thank you, friends, and good morning to everyone. I do know Pastor Dacus, and what a joy and delight it is to be here with them on this special celebration. There's so much packed into this service this morning, I don't want anyone to get nervous. I can see the clock. So please don't leave for Western Sizzlin'. But hang with us for a few moments this morning. This is a very special day. 25 years ago, Craig and Vicki Dacus entered the ministry as credential holders. I would like to pay special tribute to them this morning, and I know that we've already recognized them, but as a special tribute, could I ask, please, Brother and Sister Dacus, would you join me just a moment, both of you, please? I have a little presentation that I would like to make this morning. Brother and Sister Dacus, the Oklahoma District Council of the Assemblies of God conveys its congratulations to Reverend and Mrs. Craig Dacus on the occasion of their 25th anniversary in the ministry, their 10th anniversary as pastor of Bethesda Assembly of God, Oklahoma City, August the 17th, 2003. And in behalf of our Oklahoma District Council, I am proud to present this to the both of you in thanks for 25 years of dedicated ministry. Thanks.
Thank you. Love you.
Let me give you the box. It is indeed a delight to have my wife, Linda, with us in service this morning. My daughter, Serena. I know if you know our family, you say you don't have a daughter. I do too. She married my son. And it is a delight to have Serena slip in to join us this morning. I am deeply honored. It is also a tremendous delight that God would let a guy who pastored 1 mile away for 13 years to come and preach in your pulpit. I'm sure glad I didn't say anything bad about Bethesda. And I truly didn't. Our love has been strong with the Dacuses for many, many years, and I am honored today. Can you listen in 15 minutes? That's a good start. Do you have to preach 30 minutes to preach? I'm taking a poll here this morning. I'm waiting for a little response. How many of you vote for a 15-minute sermon? How many of you vote for an hour and a half? Oh, wow. Take your Bibles and stand with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. If you can listen, I can preach in the time parameters that we have today, and so let's do this together. Follow me, please. I've asked God what he would have for us on this special occasion, and you're going to listen to this passage of Scripture and say, what in the world does that apply? Because I'm going to preach about marriage, husbands and wives. So, ladies, get your elbow ready. There's a passage here that you're going to shout. Men, you get ready because you get to shout first. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22, and I'm reading out of a New International Version. You follow whatever you have there in your hand, please. Wives, submit to your husbands. We had two or three guys brave enough. As to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I want you to notice something with me. We're talking about husbands and wives, but I want you to notice what's happening as the apostle was talking about Christ and the church.
For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. And the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Congregations, clergy, and churches is the title of my message. Father, would you take this word and in our moments together, allow the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It is so interesting that the apostle would use a passage of scripture such as this to speak about the relationship between husbands and wives. And yet in the midst of it all, he was, as he said so clearly, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the church. The church. It was so interesting as Pastor a few moments ago made the statement standing here and speaking of Brother and Sister Gaither. He said, I'm sure that I have taken their daughter to some places they questioned. The house lights were a little dim, but Sister Gaither, I know you, and I saw your head nodding in agreement back there. Marriage does strange things for all of us. The Lord was very specific about his relationship between a husband and wife. And yet in the midst of all of it, he underscores, I'm not just speaking of an earthly union, I'm speaking of a spiritual union between the church of Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary, men and women, and churches. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are as different in churches as night and day. I thank God that even within the framework of this fellowship of the Assemblies of God, I have no problem with this. You know, everyone needs to be distinctive. Everyone needs to have something that is uniquely their own. Everyone has variety. But the Master says, in the midst of our variety, there are some basics that must be recognized. And so this passage of Scripture, I have chosen this morning a couple of things that I believe are just absolutely basics. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to quicken these to your heart. The church that Christ is building must be built upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ and His Word. Now, it doesn't matter in some of these other areas of life because methods differ. And I've got news for you. Every now and then I run into people that say, oh, we want to be just like Jesus. And I know what they're telling me is they don't like the way we do some things now or the way we worship now or the way we look now. But quite honestly, dear friend, had you walked into this building today looking like Jesus, the usher, am I using this mic or the usher might well have asked you to leave. I've looked around here today. I don't see any of you dressed like Jesus. Methods change. Styles change. I saw a weird looking guy on the video a while ago with long hair. Changes. But dear friends, the Word of God never changes. The principles of God's Word remain the same. And so the writer is allowing us to understand we must be built solidly upon the rock, Jesus Christ. And if you'll do that, everything else has a way of falling into place along the way. And it changes. I don't mind telling you my heritage goes all the way back to the days of sawdust and tent revivals and things of that nature. And I like all of that historically. I like it in perspective. But I got to tell you, friends, I love the air conditioning in here on August the 17th. You can take the camp meeting outdoors if you want. I'm going to stay in here. I enjoy the presence of God. God can move inside a beautiful sanctuary just as well as He can underneath an elm tree. So we must understand, what's the basics? Where is it that we're coming from? We understand that the church is united solidly upon the rock, Jesus Christ, and His Word. May God help us to be Word people. Every now and then I run into some who think they've had a marvelous revelation from heaven. And they say, oh, Brother Cargill, we're a Word church. Well, glory to God. When I was 1 week old, I went to a Word church. It was called Drum Right Assembly of God. And we didn't know a whole lot about what was going on, but God blessed the church. I am happy to tell you, you are part of a Word church today at Bethesda Assembly of God. What we do is based on the Word. And God help us that we don't ever depart from that, but we remain based solidly upon the Word. Secondly, I want to remind you that in this joint relationship between the congregation, between the preacher and between the church, you have to come to understand that you have joined with a bunch of imperfect people. So expect faults and failures. Now, I hate to disillusion Sister Dacus, but her husband's not perfect. And if you think, friends, that everyone who is a part of this church is perfect, God forgive you for your ignorance. It's not true. You know, my wife and I, who have been married now for almost 33 years, actually 33 years this last week, we discovered things as time has gone by. She has discovered what imperfection she really did marry. And that's a part of it. That's a part of life. That's a part of church. That's a part of coming together. It's imperfection. But let me tell you something. You start talking bad about my wife, and I'm going to come unglued at the seams. Now, I know that she has faults and failures, but don't you tell me about it. I'm smart enough to stand here and recognize it. She knows that She hasn't married a perfect person, but don't you go talking to her about me, because you're really going to have a bear cat after you. It's a relationship we share. Excuse the worldly enjoyment, but I happen to enjoy something called OU football. And I like OSU too. Don't get upset. Only I don't like them when they play OU. I drove down to Norman last night to watch them scrimmage. And I sat there in the stands and I saw them do some pretty dumb things in that scrimmage. And I thought, man, I hope they don't play like that in 2 weeks. If they do, their number one rating is on the line. If they're that quick to fumble the ball, if they're that quick to make a mistake, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. But I want you to know, I'm a loyal fan. You better not let a fan from Texas talk like that. Because I'm going to be defensive. That's my team. Now you say, Brother Cargo, why use an expression like that? Because I want to bring it home to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a part of the church that Jesus Christ has established. We have our imperfections. We don't all do things alike. But I want you to know the enemy is not someone else sitting in another pew or in another part of the church. The enemy is called Lucifer. The enemy is called the powers of this world. And I'm here to tell you today, the church is out to win this world to Jesus Christ and to reach this generation for him. We don't have time to look at one another and question one another's motives. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for 10 years here. You know, I have a few sermons I'd like to preach overs. But strange thing, pastoring, you never get to go back and take it back. I've said a few things pastoring that I ask forgiveness. But quite honestly, I know it lived on in some people's minds and lives forever. Although I ask forgiveness. So we need to come to a third aspect of this understanding about this relationship between husbands and wives, between people and preachers, between churches. We need to understand that we must learn to live in a spirit of forgiveness with each other's sins, faults, and failures. A spirit of forgiveness that says, I realize the reality of this world in which we live, and I know what it is to offer forgiveness. No wonder the apostle said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If this means anything to you at all, it must begin in your own personal marriage. It must begin in your own home. It must graduate from your home to the church. It must mean that you're willing to love one another, to forgive one another, to put things in the past and in the background, and to go on in the plans that God has in store for His wonderful, wonderful church. Isn't it strange that of all the things that he could have left or established, he left the church? Which brings us to a fourth item in my message today, and I'm right on target. Let love rule. Let love rule. People, preachers, and churches. Practice loving your neighbor as yourself. Oh, that's great to preach. Don't you hate it when God wants us to live what we preach? Don't you just hate it when your little child looks up at you and repeats what you just said? And you think, I didn't say that, did I? Learn to live. Learn to love. There's something that is bothering me about today's society. We are living in a world who is more interested in being helped than they are in helping. I hear this continually from men and women. What's in it for me? And if I don't get my strokes, then I'm not going to participate. What can I receive? We live in a world who is much more interested in receiving than they are in giving. We live in a world that is far more interested in being understood. I can't tell you the number of people who constantly are implanting that in my mind. Oh, Pastor, all I want to do, I just want someone to listen to me. I just want to be understood. Well, have you ever sat down and tried to understand someone else? We live in a world that is more interested in it coming this way than they are in it going that. We're quick to judgment. We're fast to run to conclusions. We are quick to repeat the negative and seldom the positive. We are quick to repeat the rumor without ever discovering the truth. I just want to plead with you folk, and I felt God lay this so much on my heart to talk about this family that we are a part of. Had Bethesda Assembly of God been a perfect church, when you joined it, you ruined it. If this church was perfect the day before Craig Dacus became pastor, he broke the mold because he's not perfect. But if there's any truth in the principles of God's word, if there's any credibility, think on these things. If there's any reality to what's going on, take one another by the hand and say, we are more than overcomers through the blood of Jesus Christ. If there is any validity in this war that is going on in our world, may it never come to the inside of our lives or to the inside of our building, but may we rise and take a stand against this world in which we live and say, greater is he that is within me than he that's in this world. I am an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ. I ask us today to lock arms as we've never locked arms before. I ask us to look unto the hills from whence comes our help. I ask us to cast our eyes on a heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. And I ask you, friends, across this place on this anniversary celebration, let's lift our voices heavenward and let's thank God for 10 wonderful years. Let's thank God for 25 wonderful years in ministry. Let's give God praise. Let's give God glory. And let's realize we've only just begun. May God help us. May God help you, brother and sister Dacus. Linda and I love you too, and we've shared on some very personal levels with you. They have been dear friends to my wife and I, and I thank you for your heart, and I thank you for your love. Ladies and gentlemen, you can never, ever, ever love them too much. It's not possible. May we on this special Sunday realize that it's God who has established the church. And may we lock our arms closer together than we've ever locked them in days past. And I just want to tell you that if there's anyone here this morning that says, Pastor, I don't understand that type of relationship. Well, I'm here to tell you that the God I serve can place that peace in your heart and in your life. And this can be the morning that you walk out of this place saying, I know in whom I have believed. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. 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 I want to take a moment right now, and very symbolically, I'd like to ask Pastor and Mrs. Dacus to move to the center aisle right here. Would you please, Pastor and Vicky, right in the very center. Now, I don't want anyone else to reach across the middle aisle, but I do want to ask that the rest of the aisles, you'll step into the aisle so that you can join hands across this place. Would you please? I'd like to ask everyone, take just a moment, would you please? I want to leave the center aisle open. This is symbolic. Let's don't use the center aisle here except for Pastor and Sister Dacus. The rest of you, step there to the side. Hallelujah. Years. There's a lot of jobs that say 25 years you qualify for retirement. Just to dispel all rumors, Pastor Dacus, the Assemblies of God does not offer a 25 retirement plan. It's not there. I want to ask us as a body of believers, you are wonderful men and women of this church and of this fellowship. Would you pray for one of my preachers? Would you pray for one of our credential holders who he and his wife stand here in the center of this place today? Would you as a body right now, and hands are joined and hearts are joined, would you pray that God would bless their lives and would touch them and would anoint them as he never has in days past? This is honor to whom honor is due. Let's have a 25-year celebration. Pray. Would you, audience? I'm going to lead us in prayer. But all over this place, we're united. Father, there's a couple that stands before us today who is celebrating 25 wonderful years of ministry. And today we as a body of this local church, known as an Assemblies of God Church, unite our hearts, unite our lives to Pastor and Mrs. Dacus. And we thank you, God, for the 25 years that they have enjoyed and shared in ministry. And as they stand before us today, may you, with renewed anointing of the Holy Spirit, pour out your love and your power and your presence upon their heart and life. God, make every day for them a new revelation of the power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I ask it, Lord. I believe it to happen. Hallelujah. We give you praise, O God. We give you praise, O God, for your wonderful, wonderful love. Hallelujah. 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 And now I preached about marriage. Do you, Pastor and Mrs. Dacus, take this congregation to be the love of your life, to serve as pastor with renewed energies after already 10 years of courtship? If you do, would you say, we do? Would you, ladies and gentlemen, take this couple whom you have had on trial for 10 years and decide we take them to be our shepherds, anointed of Almighty God? If you would you say, we do? We do. Now, we're going to come together. Move toward the center, would you please? We're going to fill the center aisle. If you're on the sides, just keep coming. And with hands joined and hearts still joined, we now receive one another in the love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hands are joined across this place. This is a time of rejoicing. Let's lift our hearts heavenward and let's thank God for this beautiful church that he has established. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise, O Lord, for you do all things well, and to God be the glory, great things he has done. Lord, we lift our voices and our hearts today in praise and in thanksgiving for the love of mighty God that has rested upon this place. Thank you, God, for this union. Thank you, God, for this church that is yours. Even with our imperfections, Lord, we live in a spirit of love and unity and cooperation and faith, because the enemy of our world is out to destroy us. But Lord, we have discovered that you are more than able to overcome the enemy. And we present our hearts today in a unified effort across this place to say, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Hallelujah. 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 And I can think of no better way this morning than with a shout of rejoicing and praise unto God. That's right. I I don't know whether you have noticed this or not, but it seems like every wedding I've done the last few years, it's quiet and somber and a few giggles and all that sort of thing going on. But when you come down to that last part and you stand and say, it is my privilege to introduce to this audience for the very first time, you know, that nervous bride and groom turn and face the audience. They don't know what the world they've just gotten themselves into. But across the audience, there comes applause. I've had audiences stand the last few months. It's just like, congratulations! And therefore, it gives me great pleasure to commend unto God, our Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving for 25 years of ministry. And to this congregation, I present to you, Pastor and Mrs. Craig Dacus. Service time is 6 p.m. tonight. It's a reception. There's some other guests that'll be here. I hope this many people will be back tonight at 6. Now, I ask your favor. The service is dismissed. I'd like for you to feel free to visit with Brother and Sister Dacus. I want to take the liberty. Staff, you and your companions, my wife and I, will be here in the altar. If there is anyone here this morning that needs prayer, if there's anyone here today that would say, Brother Cargill, I need you to pray with me about something that's going on in my life, I want you to come here to the altar. I want Brother and Sister Dacus to be free once the sea parts to go that direction and for you to hug their necks and love them. If you need prayer, would you come to the altar? Staff, would you just slip up here at the altar and turn and face the audience? My wife and I will be available. We're here to pray with you. All you need to do is come this way. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the great family of Bethesda Assembly of God.
and you don't want to take that money home with you. Just
well, I'd like for all of us home folk just to give the visitors a big round of applause this morning, saying thank you for coming today. We do want to remind you that this is a special day here at Bethesda. For those of you that have slipped in after we begun, this is a special day here at Bethesda. We're honoring our pastors, Craig and Vicki Dacus, for 25 years of ministry, and then 10 years pastoring here at Bethesda as well. We have two special guests with us, Brother Frank Cargill and Brother Franklin Blair, who we're going to be hearing from later, and we'll welcome them to the pulpit here in just a moment. But I just want to say that from my heart, to you, Pastor and Vicki, thank you so much for the investment that you've made in Christy and I's lives the last few years. And as I've been associated with the family in 12 years now, Christy and I will be married. You've been a tremendous blessing to our hearts and to our lives. So may the time that we spend together, all of us, be a special occasion for you guys. We want to honor you today. You know, the Bible says that we are to give honor where honor is due. And I truly believe that the hearts of Pastor and Vicki have been to minister to the people of God and to build the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. And so we want to honor them and just